This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
If you missed it earlier, Squirrel and I scared each other half to death. He was in my shed. I left the door open because I was doing yard work, and I go to put my tools back in the shed, and I hear this big old fat squirrel. I mean, he was a fat squirrel. And so he was on the far side, the far corner of the shed, and I was standing in the door. There's only one entrance. And so we were stuck. I couldn't really go anywhere. I had to put stuff in the shed, and the squirrel kept going farther and farther back into the corner. And what am I going to do? Like, shoo him out anyway? And so I don't know if there was a way for him to go out the back side of the shed. I'm not sure. I just know that he was either so tucked in with his fat butt that I couldn't see him anymore, and he stopped moving that I couldn't hear him, or maybe he did get out the other side. But my mom told me to open the door, just leave it open all night, and I thought she was crazy. Are you kidding? I don't need the squirrel to invite his entire family and all his friends in for a Thanksgiving feast, and I don't need skunks to decide it's okay to go in there too. So yeah, I have no idea if the squirrel's going to be in there when I open it up in the morning, but I'm going to try. And yeah, I don't want squirrel poop all over my shed either. So just another day in paradise, you know. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Will says on Facebook, can you put food outside the shed? And when he comes to get it, sneak up and close the door behind him. Yeah, because that food might not attract any other animals while I'm waiting for the darn squirrel to smell the food and come outside. Also, what am I going to do? Put down a bowl of peanuts? I mean, what does a squirrel eat? Nuts, right? Acorns? Does he eat the acorns or just, I don't know. Anyway, I know the squirrels and the birds and the rabbits all eat everything in my backyard. So I put down grass seed. What happens? The birds and the squirrels and the rabbits eat it. Yeah, it's me and a big old zoo at my new house, but I don't think putting food outside the shed is the look I'm going for in my backyard, because I can't imagine the number of other animals that food will attract. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you so much for all your responses to my poll that I put up on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We got a ton of you responding on Facebook as well. And I don't even mind snarky. I'm just glad that you're responding to the poll. Although if you really ask me the question, what's basketball? I'm going to worry about your mental health even more than I already am. Don't be a dumbass. While you're being snarky, don't play yourself off as completely stupid. Come on. We've given you four options. And so you can find that on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And we are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. We'll get back to basketball a little bit later on. Also, I want you to hear from the brand new general manager of the Marlins, first female GM in baseball history. In such a cool moment, she had an opportunity to answer questions and address the media yesterday in her virtual presser. So it's awesome to know that there's another glass ceiling that's been shattered in professional sports, and congratulations to Kim. In addition, we've got the latest on Drew Brees and also what we know about Nick Foles, though it isn't much. So I'll start at the end and work backward of Monday Night Football. Nick Foles was knocked out of the game with about 44 seconds left. He took a sack and landed on his hip. So he was dragged down to the ground, kind of slammed down on his hip. And while maybe it didn't look like it was particularly rough or scary or brutal like some of the other injuries where you know right away what's wrong, he needed to be carted off the field. According to Matt Nagy after the game, this is either a leg or a hip injury. So they weren't sure. They were going to have tests done. But the fact that he had to be carted off the field and couldn't walk of his own power usually indicates that it's something fairly serious. So I'm worried about Nick Foles. And for Matt Nagy, of course, as much as the offense has been anemic and they really don't have a viable answer to all that ails the offense, it's obvious that you feel for a quarterback or for any player who has to leave the game like that.
It's been frustrating. It's been hard. And that's the part that's difficult through all this, because no one wants it more than him to be out there to fight with his teammates. So we'll keep an eye on that. And again, it's this bye is coming at a good time for us. We're a little bit beat up right now, so we need to be able to get some guys back and get healthy.
Yeah, they're beat up all over the place. David Montgomery, their top running back, did not play last night. Their offensive line has been patchwork and piecemeal, and boy, was that evident against the Minnesota Vikings, who brought the blitzes, who brought the pressure, who got to Nick Foles over and over again. On the very rare occasion that Foles had a pocket to work with, he was allowed to see his receivers run their routes, and he was allowed to let the play develop, but that did not happen very often. Most of the time, he was under siege. He's not a mobile quarterback. That's something you give up when you don't have Mitch Trubisky out there. He can throw on the move a little bit, but we're not talking about a guy who's going to scramble. We're not talking about a Daniel Jones. We're sure as heck not talking about a Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson, right? So Foles can extend a play briefly, but not when the pressure is coming from all sides. And so he was sacked a couple of times, but he was hit all the time. 11 official quarterback hits, but a lot of times he was just trying to chuck and duck and get rid of the football. And I thought it was an interesting point that Kurt Warner made. So I was listening to Monday Night Football on Westwood One because I love Kurt with Kevin Harlan. And Kurt Warner made the point that it seemed like a kind of a dysfunction or a disconnect with the play calling, because the Bears would call plays where the receivers are streaking 20 yards down the field before they turn back for the ball, before they break in their routes. Nick Foles doesn't have that kind of time. Foles doesn't generally, at least didn't last night, have that kind of time for the play to develop. He can't. He's got to get rid of the ball quickly. And without a run game to keep the defenses honest, without an offensive line to hold off the pressure, or just in general to keep that line solid in the trenches, you can't wait for a receiver to go 20 yards downfield. And so I thought that was a really good point by Kurt Warner. And it actually reminded me of what had happened on Monday Night Football a couple weeks ago. You remember there was this point made by Brian Greasy that he actually said came out of his discussions with Nick Foles, that Foles sometimes would hear the plays called in from Nagy on the Bears sideline and would think, there's no way. I don't have that kind of time. I can't call that play because I don't have the time behind this offensive line. Now, Nick Foles promptly came out and said, oh, you misunderstood. There's no problem here with my coach. And he tried to work that out right away. So it was a bit of an awkward exchange. However, the point may be underscored when you watch what happened last night against the Minnesota Vikings. So when it comes to Chicago, the offense is no closer to breaking through. Without David Montgomery, they had even less of a run game, so not even 50 yards rushing. The only touchdown came on a 104-yard kickoff return by Cordarrelle Patterson. It was history, the longest ever in the Bears franchise, going back more than 100 years. So that's great. Good for Cordarrelle. He certainly made a niche for himself. But the Bears offense, even with good field position, could not generate really any type of momentum. And that's still a major concern for Coach Nagy.
Obviously, we struggled mightily on offense and having the 4-3 and outs in the second half. We had field position. We couldn't convert on that in the red zone.
Yeah, they were officially 0-for-1 in the red zone. They had a couple of field goals early, but the Patterson kickoff return, which started the second half, were their only points after the break. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, we will continue to monitor the full situation, but they do have a bye, so we'll see what that means. Trubisky hasn't been available because of a shoulder injury. And it just, it seems like there's no answers. They've now lost four in a row. I will say this. I give credit to the Bears defense because they did not want Dalvin Cook to hurt them, and Dalvin Cook did not. It took him 30 carries to gain 96 yards. So his yards per carry were way down. This wasn't the Dalvin Cook of the last 2 weeks against Detroit and against Green Bay. Instead, it was a relatively, I don't want to say ineffective because that's not the case, but a relatively contained Dalvin Cook. So it was up to Kirk Cousins to pass a little bit more. It was up to his receivers to make sure that they helped move the chains. So the Bears defense did a great job. It wasn't like the Vikings had all that much offensive momentum either. But with all three facets of the game, they did enough.
Third and three, Cousins 6 of 6. Two receivers left, one right. Back to pass. Fade for the end zone. And it is caught. Touchdown! Adam Thielen with a 17-yard touchdown. Third and four from the 6 empty backfield. Bears rush 4. Cousins to the end zone. Touchdown! Adam Thielen with a touchdown. He has 2, and the Vikings have taken a 19-13 lead. Foles out of the shotgun. 4th and 9. The Vikings do blitz. Nick steps up. He's going to loft it, and Anthony Miller can't bring it in at the 5. It was off the fingertips of Anthony Miller, and the Vikings have turned over the Bears on downs. Holy cow. Tyler Bray with a deep drop. He'll pass to the left and threw a knuckleball to absolutely nobody, and the Vikings have turned the Bears over on downs, and the anti-Vike known as Soldier Field has been neutralized.
Also, Kirk Cousins with some record that who knows was keeping track of. I could never keep track of this, but his record of on Monday Night Football games, I guess he'd lost a certain number of Monday Night Football games in a row. Like I said, someone's keeping track of that as if that matters in a real legit stat. That's also over as well. So you don't have Kirk Cousins to kick around anymore, peeps. Paul Allen on the Vikings Radio Network. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The second Adam Thielen touchdown was early in the fourth quarter, the go-ahead score, and the defense did the rest. You heard the name Tyler Bray in there. That's because Tyler was the one who came in to finish out the game. And you know he's trying to chuck the ball, of course, because they needed just the one touchdown. But the Vikings defense, forget breaking. It wasn't bending either. And I think Bray just completed one pass in that final minute. So you've got a third straight victory for the Vikings, and you've got a Kirk Cousins that has been pretty efficient. He did have an interception last night. Khalil Mack, boy, is he a beast. And I mean that as a compliment. But still, Kirk Cousins played well, had nearly 300 yards, a couple of touchdown passes to Thielen. And obviously, what you're most concerned about is continuing this win streak and the fact that they could find a different way to win without having Dalvin Cook go crazy is also great for Mike Zimmer.
Really good team win tonight. You know, we overcame some things defensively. I thought we played outstanding tonight. You know, the young secondary and really Cousins, I thought he played great.
So Mike Zimmer elaborating on Kirk Cousins, and this is a big deal because early in the year, Cousins was tentative. He couldn't stop throwing interceptions. There wasn't any balance. Ask the Bears what it's like to try to put out there a viable offense and have an offense succeed when you don't have a run game. So, yes, the key is Dalvin Cook and the threat of a monster run game like him and how easily he can get loose. But when your defense has to focus on Dalvin, it obviously gives Cousins more time and more space to operate.
I thought he played really fast, which is important for him. He was extremely accurate. You know, he got the ball in the right places all night. And I just felt like he did a really good job of handling what the defense was giving us.
It's great to get a win, you know, against a divisional opponent at their place, a place that's, you know, a tough place to play. You know, it's a really good defense we play tonight. I felt like they showed it all game long. Yards were tough to come by. Points were tough to come by.
That's always the case, I feel like, in the NFC North. I guess you have your rare shootout in the NFC North. But the way that it goes generally is when the weather gets colder and the games get more physical and ferocious. You certainly have these types of games where the defenses show up to play. Huge deal for the Vikings to now have won three consecutive games, all of them coming against North Division opponents. Meanwhile, the Bears are going the wrong way, their fourth loss in a row. And you may remember I asked you the rhetorical question last week. This is even before this Monday Night Football game, going back to the wake of Week 9. I asked you, are the Vikings actually the second best team in the North Division behind the Packers? And they sit now just a half game behind the Bears. So the Bears have their bye coming up. Vikings have already taken their bye. And so you've got the Packers at 7-2 and no other teams above 500. So the Vikings are creeping. It's an uphill climb, but it's not impossible. Because of the extra wild card, maybe even another wild card on top of the one that we know is already added. So right now, there are 7 teams from each conference, potentially 8, but that's not a sure thing. But either way, you've got likely just one team coming out of the NFC East, unless pigs fly between now and the early part of January. So you've got one team coming out of there, which means you've got 6 other positions from the 3 divisions. Now, it's obviously really competitive in the NFC West, where you've got 3 teams that are all at 6-3. We know both the Saints and the Buccaneers control their own path to the playoffs now. Even without Drew Brees, the Saints have a well-rounded team, and they've won 6 in a row. They've already beaten the Bucs twice. So those two teams, the Packers, they're not assured of anything, but right now they're the leaders in the NFC North. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, that the NFC West kind of beats each other up, and that you end up having maybe 1 or 2 teams separate itself, but not 3 teams going from the West Division. Well, then there's another playoff spot out there that's up for grabs. It's unlikely that the Falcons or Panthers are going to rally to make the postseason, though, again, not impossible. So I still say that in the NFC North, there is likely a wild card spot that is up for grabs, and it could be between the Bears or now potentially the Vikings. Remember, the Bears started out 5-1. The Vikings started out 1-5, and here they are, about to be like ships passing in the night. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, I think a lot of you have the same idea that I do about James Harden and Kyrie Irving in the same backcourt. My immediate reaction was to cackle, as in laugh out loud. There's not enough ball to go around, and we haven't even talked much about Kevin Durant. I like this tweet. Will they be using 3 basketballs? One for Kyrie, Harden, and the rest of the team, meaning Kevin Durant. They might need 4 basketballs. But please take the poll that I put up. I don't do a lot of polls, but I'm manning the social media tonight. Nick is filling in for producer Dave, so trying to help out here. And a lot of you weighing in on Facebook as well. This from Chip. Your dog would be a perfect solution to get rid of the squirrel. No, not Penny. Penny would rather hide from the squirrel and other critters. Well, not hide, but she's so laid back and also a bit of a fraidy cat. So Penny is not in any way going to go after a squirrel. My cat might, though. So that did spark an idea. Maybe I can throw Sugar into the shed and allow Sugar to figure out if the squirrel is still in there. Sugar is roughly the same size as that squirrel, but Sugar is fearless. And I mean, that cat would attack a dog 5 times her size. She's fearless. And also the mouse are in our house, which is why I continue to feed her. Oh, fine. She's part of my family, too. I'm not getting rid of her. That's out of mean. But boy, is she a pain in my butt. Except for when I need to get the mice out of the house. Actually, so far, so good. In my new house, no mice yet. At least not that I've seen. Maybe Sugar's gotten rid of them and dealt with them on the DL. Yeah, I don't even know how we got on that tangent. Sorry. So find me on Twitter or Facebook. Coming up, the latest on Drew Brees. And also, I want you to hear from the brand new Marlins general manager, Kim Ng, who did her first press conference yesterday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Monday may feel like a Black Monday for New Orleans Saints fans. Now, there's good news, and then there's not so good news. The good news is they have the second longest win streak in the NFL behind only the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have yet to lose this season. And the good news is the defense is playing extremely well for New Orleans. We've seen that defense get a little healthier, turn a corner against the Buccaneers, and then the Niners just a couple of days ago. We've also seen Alvin Kamara just find some incredible groove. He is locked in right now. I know Dalvin Cook has put up gaudy numbers and he gets a lot of the attention, but Alvin Kamara, even one of our choices for Monday MVP this weekend, though nobody was going to win except for DeAndre Hopkins. That was an exercise in futility. Anyway, Kamara's playing well. Michael Thomas is back. Emmanuel Sanders is back. The team is getting healthier. But unfortunately, they may have to move forward without Drew Brees for a portion of time in a second consecutive season. And that part sucks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Drew Brees actually went to his head coach, Sean Payton, on Sunday at halftime and said, "I don't think I should go. I don't think I'm going to be effective." And that's how Coach Payton knew that this was different than the typical bumps and bruises that any player will work with.
But he looked strong enough about letting me know. And I know when he does that, which is kind of probably going to be the first time in 15 years that it was significant enough where he felt like he couldn't function in the second half.
So for Drew Brees to take himself out of the game and to say that I wouldn't be effective, not even partially effective, is a big deal. So he was on the sidelines, but he did not play. Come to find out, he's got broken ribs on both sides of his chest, and he also has a collapsed lung. It sounds serious, what I've come to understand working in sports and sports radio for a long time, that actually it's not as serious as what it sounds like. In fact, the punctured lung for Tyrod Taylor, apparently more serious injury. So they're at this point, they're not ruling him out. It is maybe potentially more about the pain with the ribs. I mean, you know that there are guys who play with broken ribs and bruised cartilage and all kinds of stuff. So maybe it's more about pain management once his lung is healed and he is good to go. So there are multiple elements to this. And for the Saints to kind of keep things under wraps is understandable. They don't want to reveal anything at this point. And they don't even want to tell us if Brees is going to be available or how long he might be out or who's going to be stepping in for him. I mean, if you judge by what happened against the Niners, it was Jameis Winston who took the initial snaps, though we did see a healthy dose of Taysom Hill. So either one of those guys, of course, you could see fitting into the game plan, and Sean Payton has said as much. Tom Brady is always a guest on the Monday Night Football broadcast on Westwood One, and Jim Gray asked him about Drew Brees, who he's already seen twice in divisional games.
It's tough because he's an incredible player, and just seeing him up close like I did 2 weeks ago, he's playing some great football, and they have a very talented team. Every team is forced at different times in the year to adjust, and the Saints are one of the best teams in the league at doing that, so I don't know how long he'll be out. I certainly hope for a speedy recovery. And, nobody likes to see anybody get hurt. I hate seeing guys get hurt, but it's a contact sport. So he recovered pretty well last year from his thumb injury, and he seems to be a very quick healer, and I'm hoping that's the case for him.
Tom Brady on Westwood One with Jim Gray, halftime of Monday Night Football. And he points back to a year ago when Brees was out with a thumb injury. Teddy Bridgewater came in, took care of the football. He was efficient. He didn't turn it over. The defense played great, and there was Alvin Kamara and that run game. Well, that would be the same formula that you would hope for with Jameis Winston and or Taysom Hill. Now, here's the not-so-secret weapon, Sean Payton. I mean, Sean Payton is the guy. He's the offensive mind. He's got command of the offense because he's the one that's designed it. Now, designed it to fit around Drew Brees, but of course, knowing that Taysom Hill is part of the equation and Jameis Winston, while he looked a little rusty on Sunday, you can understand, outside of those couple minutes against Tampa Bay 2 weeks ago, those were his only minutes in quite a while. And so there's a lot there that they're going to have to try to do to get him ready. But at the same time, Sean Payton, if anyone can do it, Sean Payton can. Sean Payton's dealt with this before, and it is his system that he knows inside and out. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. 6-game win streak. But remember, with Teddy Bridgewater filling in, who then ended up getting kind of a free agent audition for free, it didn't hurt them at all because everybody else stepped up. So that will need to be the case with the Saints if they're going to stay on top of the NFC South. In Miami on Monday, this is a really cool moment, an historic moment, where Kim Ng, who has spent years and years and years and years in Major League Baseball in all facets of the front office and has worked for teams like the Dodgers and the Yankees. She is believed to be the first female general manager in any of our four major team sports in North America. So congratulations to her. And I love that she did not downplay it, that she did call it an historic moment, and that she felt like it was a long time coming, but that it was a tribute to her and all the effort and the blood, sweat, and tears that she put into it, persevering, staying driven, staying focused, keeping up with her efforts to get where she wanted to go. And she said, eventually your dream will come true. And obviously the fact that she's worked in baseball for a variety of organizations in all these different capacities certainly helped in terms of carving out a great reputation.
That's always been a big thing for me, is to just make my reputation as good as I can make it, and let that carry me through. And that's even more important now that I have this position.
She said that she received over 1,000 congratulatory text messages and emails from people that she's crossed paths with around Major League Baseball. Now, she's been working in baseball since 91, so she's not a newbie. She's not a newcomer. In baseball circles, everybody knows who Kim is. She worked with the White Sox. She's worked with, as I mentioned, both the Yankees and the Dodgers. She's interviewed for a variety of positions, and at the same time, so more recently in her career, she's interviewed, I think it was a half dozen times, for different GM openings. And so she's been around, and she's now part of what is a really diverse and eclectic front office for the Marlins. You've got Derek Jeter, of course. You've got another woman who's the team COO, and now you've got Kim Ng, who is the general manager in charge of the actual baseball operations. And she believes that the Marlins, who made the playoffs this year after everything that they started with, the challenges of having their team outbreak and the team shutdown, she believes they're in a really good situation moving forward.
Looking at this system, it's rated one of the top systems in baseball right now. So, you know, obviously a good job has been done here, but we're just looking to build on that more and more. And I think that's how you get to the self-sustaining model that you need over an elongated period of time. You got to go with a lot of good young players and then fill in where you can.
A lot of baseball knowledge, a lot of baseball experience, a lot of time learning under other GMs and working in various front offices. And it has brought her to this point. She is created and stepped into this position at this point when she is ready and prepared. And one thing that I tell people when they ask me about my, I would say it was a bit of a winding journey to get to where I am now. I used to be really impatient with it, right? I used to want to catapult to the top of the industry and have my own show. And I thought I was ready so many years ago. And I look back now and I realized all the training that I went through for the past 20 years, even going back to my training at Syracuse with my master's degree and having my first kind of hands-on experiences, every single stop along the way in my career prepared me for such a time as this, prepared me to be in this place in this time and be ready to handle it, be ready for the pressures, be ready for the criticism, as well as the uber excited, over the top feedback, be ready for social media, which is an element that I wasn't having to deal with when I was first in the business. But I kind of think about her journey and the fact that she's made a lot of stops and it's required a lot of patience. And she mentioned perseverance. And it's only now that she says her dream has come true. And that's amazing. But she is so much more prepared now than she was, say, 10 years ago. The decisions she'll make now are different than what she would have made 10 years ago. The way that she handles the pushback, the adversity, the challenges, all that's different. And so that wisdom and experience, there's no shortcut to wisdom. There's no shortcut to experience. Sometimes you just have to live through it. And sometimes it's longer than a process that you would hope. But it's not a waste if you can then use all of that when you do finally get the opportunity. And for me, that's been the case. It took a lot longer than I wanted it to, but I look back now and I realized every single stop, every single show, every single boss, every single failure, all of those were necessary to prepare me for where I am right now. So I can see a bit of my own journey and her story as well. And I think it's an amazing move for the Marlins, and I am excited to see her succeed and the Marlins as well. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Brady, hard count, hands the ball off. Rojo pops it free. Across the 10 to the 15, 20. Rojo to the 30. Rojo to the 40. Rojo to the 50. Rojo to the 40. Rojo to the 30. High 7 to the 20. It'll be a 98-yard touchdown run by Ronald Jones the second. Touchdown, Tampa Bay.
One play, 14 seconds. That's how long it took Ronald Jones to go 98 yards. You hear the call with Gene Deckerhoff on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers radio network. Not only was it an uber impressive run and part of Jones' nearly 200 yards rushing on Sunday against the Panthers, but it came midway through the third quarter in what was a one-score game. It not only kept the Buccaneers in what was a really strong stretch of drives where they scored on six consecutive drives, but it essentially was the last score that they would need to beat the Panthers. So they're 26 points ultimately better than the Panthers 23, though the Buccaneers did end up tacking on another 20 points and one going away. But that Ronald Jones run is so huge because the Bucs were backed up to the 2-yard line. And Jones takes a handoff, and he's gone. And so not only is it unstoppable, but it's a major turning point from that juncture onward. After that touchdown, it was open season for the Bucs offense. It's been really interesting to kind of see the storylines develop over the last, I'll say, month or so, where I feel like teams are settling into, you know, more consistent rhythms where we're getting their true identities. And now we're going to start to see these division battles really heat up. I'm excited about this. If you look around the NFL, and now here we are, believe it or not, with just 6 weeks left to go or six weeks left to go in the regular season, not six games for everybody, but 6 weeks. You've got a race in the AFC East between the Bills and Dolphins, same number of losses. Obviously, the Steelers are in a different category right now, but the Ravens and Browns at 6-3 just behind them. The Colts and Titans also identical 6-3 records atop the South. In the AFC West, the Raiders are creeping on the Chiefs. The Chiefs had their bye week. The Raiders have won 3 in a row, though, and they're just 2 games back of the Chiefs in that division. We obviously know what the NFC East is all about, where literally every team is still involved for the division title. In the NFC North, Bears are going the wrong way, but don't count out the Vikings. Even though the Packers have a healthy lead in that division, there is going to be a race for a wild card there as well. In the South, Saints and Buccaneers with the same number of wins. Saints have taken their bye. Buccaneers have not yet. And then, of course, all three of the top teams in the West Division are sitting at 6-3. 6-3 is the magic number, if you will. Coming up on Sunday, actually, it's two numbers, but you know what I'm saying. 6-3, it's a record. The NFL on CBS slate features two of the AFC's best this Sunday going head-to-head. Derrick Henry and the Titans. Remember, they played last Thursday Night Football, so they've had a mini bye. They take on Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, or the Steelers try to avoid the upset bug against the Jaguars, who are desperate to end their losing skid. It all begins with the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Because there is no Masters this weekend, the NFL is on CBS. I can't believe we're talking about week 11 and literally the last weekend before Thanksgiving. What? Hey, while we're talking about the Buccaneers and mentioned the Masters there, I thought this was kind of fun. Tom Brady, who, as I say, is a guest on Monday Night Football, Westwood One, he got on there with Jim Gray, and Gray asked him about the Masters last night, and he said, yeah, I had a good chance to watch almost all of Saturday's action on my phone because we were sitting on the plane for 5 hours. You guys may remember it was this awful travel snafu for the Buccaneers. They sat on the tarmac in their plane for 5.5 hours Saturday until they finally were transferred to a new plane. And Brady said he called up the Masters on his phone, and that's what he did for almost the entire wait, which yikes, I would still be claustrophobic. Anyway, Jim Gray asked him about Dustin Johnson.
When he's on, he is spectacular in every way. He's got every part of the game worked on. He drives it so far. He's got an incredible touch around the greens, wedge play, and then he's making putts. So it's hard to believe he's only won two majors because he's been so spectacular for so long.
And certainly dominant, well-established now as the best player in the world. And Tom Brady obviously has had his moments playing golf and had the match two, one of the early sporting events going back to May with Tiger and Phil and Peyton. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. It's sponsored by Geico. If you rent your home, Geico makes it easy to bundle renters and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy, 855-212-4227. Mike is listening in West Palm Beach. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, good morning, Amy.
Hey.
Spoke to you a couple of weeks ago. Always a good show.
Thank
I got to give a shout out to Nick.
I
spoke to him a few times as a producer on the New York Sports Radio. Another good producer. I called and spoke to Nick about this. What you spoke about this new GM Kim Ng. It's amazing. I didn't realize she had a 30-year resume working, like you said, for the White Sox, the Yankees, the Dodgers, and you know what? That is great in my eyes because it opens up the opportunity for women all around the country for major sports. And look at what you did. I didn't realize you went to Syracuse and others like Kim Jones. So I think it's great. And I have to give, thumbs up to Derek Jeter and Donnie Baseball with the Marlins. You know, I mean, this is just a great, great opportunity. I was saying to Nick, too, I'm a longtime Jet fan. I can't even watch him anymore. And he said it best. I don't think the Jets can even watch the Jets anymore. You know what I mean?
I mean, I disagree with that. I know it's cute to make jokes about the Jets, and I get that they're a punchline. However, it's been a really difficult season with all this losing, and nobody wants to win more than that locker room. And so as much as it's a joke, and you may think they all want to tank, and all they want is Trevor Lawrence, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. They couldn't care less about what happens in the future. What they want to do is end this damn losing streak.
Well, yeah, it is a bit of a joke, and I know that no team wants to lose. But as a longtime, Mets fan, Jet fan, some people are fair weather fans. They jump on the bandwagon for the front running teams. Okay?
All right. So, you just don't need to worry about what everybody else does. You just be a real fan.
I don't worry,
Mike,
about what everybody else does. I'm just making a comment, Amy. Okay? Hey, have a good day. Thanks a lot. Okay?
Yeah,
thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. Spicy. 855-212-4227. Andre is in Jackson, Mississippi. Welcome to After Hours.
How you doing, Amy?
I'm good, thank you.
Hey, I'm looking around the NFL. To be honest with you, I think it's going to be a sweep for the city of L.A. I think the Rams are going to win the Super Bowl. I think they're going to upset the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Dude, we don't even know if the Rams are going to make the playoffs.
They're going to make the playoffs. They got defense. They got a shutdown corner. They got a three-headed running back. Three guys that running back to replace Gurley, those guys are going to make the playoffs. And it is going to upset Pittsburgh. I mean, it's a classic upset. I see Pittsburgh going 15-1, and I see a major upset. I can just see it.
So you're already to the Super Bowl. We still have 6 weeks to go, but you're already sure it's going to be the Rams and the Steelers and that it's going to end up being the Rams in an upset in the Super Bowl?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
hey, I call it like I see it. I'm a young guy that always bets on sports. I don't work anymore because I win all the time. If you want to know anything about sports, you can call me.
Andre.
Well, I give you a good trivia question before I get out of here.
Dude, I don't do trivia. That's not real sports knowledge.
That's not real sports knowledge.
No, it's just it's your knowledge of like some obscure fact. That's not the same as knowing what's happening on the field, the court, the ice right in front of you.
Hey, I might be the only guy that can be all the Super Bowl winner from Super Bowl I all the way to the present Super Bowl.
Well, I definitely can't. Not in order.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. And I want you to figure out who's the only guy to rush for 200 yards and then win the MVP of the Super Bowl. Okay. Figure that one out before you get out there.
Nah, I've only got another 90 seconds, so it's not going to be in the until I get off the air. Oh, my gosh. All right, Andre, thanks for your phone call. 855-212-4227 to call any other show the same way that you call this show. I know they would love to have you. So here's what we've got going on social media, because I was manning it tonight. So I'm doing a poll to troll. Help a girl out, please. Trying to gauge your interest in NBA free agency. So share with your friends. Here, I'm going to retweet it. It's on my Twitter and our show Twitter as well. And I've given you four options. And right now, we seem to be more focused on football and not as much focused on what's happening in NBA free agency. I admit it's weird. I will say it's odd to have it right now with the draft coming up later this week. I have to remind myself. It's out of place. I have to remind myself to focus on it or to at least figure out what's happening. I like this post from Richard on Facebook. I'm like a kid that's expecting socks and underwear for Christmas because I'm a Cavs fan. But a lot of you are at least cognizant of some of the moves that have been made. So that part I appreciate. But it is football season. We made room for the Masters, a tradition unlike any other, in November. So I suppose we can make room for the NBA draft and NBA free agency. So either on Twitter or Facebook. Coming up tonight, it's our hump show. We'll do our Thanksgiving food question because I can't wait. Have a good Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.